Welcome to our final edition of This Week in Missouri Politics for the year. We are joined by our guest who's been here for most of our year-end shows, now the Attorney General, Eric Schmidt. Welcome back to the show.
Good to be back.
So you've been in court a little bit lately, right?
We have been.
But you've been winning some of these. This is the thing. I see you suing these folks. I see you suing Joe Biden. And for a long time, I guess it takes a while for court decisions to come out. But I've seen in the last few weeks you've had like three or four wins, all kind of tied into these health mandates and these vaccine mandates from the federal government. Tell me what that actually means for a person who works at the VA in Missouri.
Well, these are big wins for working people, big wins for healthcare workers. We just had one of those last week, and big wins for the rule of law and I think for freedom. We're in court on and leading the charge on the three mandates that are out there. There's the CMS healthcare worker mandate, which we led that 10-state coalition in the Eastern District here in Missouri. We won that, so there's a pause on that. The next day, there was a nationwide pause for the remaining states. As far as the private employer, we led the charge on that, on the OSHA mandate for over 100 employees. There's a pause button that's been hit for that. And then there's been a ruling in Kentucky on the federal contractor mandate, which touches about 25% of the workforce. So these are big cases that have a lot of import moving forward. What does this mean? What's the role of the federal government? I think if you take a step back, there's a much larger issue at stake here, which is what kind of country we're going to be. America's been the freest country in the history of the world. Are we going to give that up? Are we going to cede that authority to these tyrants who want to get more and more and more control? Because it's never going to end. For them, this is a basis of power that they never thought they'd have. And it's very important that we're winning in court. And so, to me, these are fundamental fights about sort of who we are as a country. And our founders had it right. They saw this on the horizon. They were students of history. They knew that tyrants, dictators, governments try to aggregate and control. They try to gain more and more power. So they created the system of government that spread it out among the branches, checks and balances. Federalism, the states created the federal government, right, to be a government of limited powers. Enforcing the vaccination of 100 million Americans isn't one of them.
There's a stereotype I think some folks in the media would give you, that folks that aren't vaccinated, I guess, would be like me, just, you know, white trash hillbillies. But a lot of healthcare workers, that's not the stereotype. I saw a bunch of pilots at Southwest. The skepticism to the vaccine is much more broad-based than I ever would have thought.
Well, my position is people should be able to make these decisions,
yeah,
right? Individuals should be able to make these decisions, because that idea of individual liberty and freedom means you get to make these decisions for yourself. The interesting thing in the judge's order when we won the vaccine mandate for healthcare workers last week was in that ruling, we cited there were rural hospitals that were going to close, nursing homes that were going to close, clinics that were going to close because a certain percentage of the employees weren't going to be vaccinated. And so the health outcomes for those folks in those communities were going to be dramatically worse because of the mandate. So there's a ton of consequences that follow from this kind of overreach beyond just the affront to personal liberty.
There's a talent I've always seen you have. It's connecting with regular folks that work for a living. It is my take that when the president got involved and started mandating this, it made a certain group of people who might have been on the fence about getting vaccinated say, nope, I'm done. I don't know that he's got more people vaccinated by trying to force them.
No, look, people are, I will tell you, Scott, as I get around the state on, you know, and talk to people, I was in a living room with 91 moms. They weren't politically active before, maybe a couple of them, but they care about their kids and they see what's happening to their country and they want their country back. America wants America back. People want to get about moving on with their lives, and they don't want to be told by the federal government, which has no authority in the Constitution or by statute, to be dictating these things to them. So in many ways, this is a debate we've been having for a long time in this country, but we've never seen an administration with this kind of breathtaking overreach take these issues on that affects people's lives. And so I'm proud to be the lawyer for 6 million Missourians pushing back, because those folks need a voice. They need a fighter that's going to go to court and win to beat back this overreach.
All right, let me ask you a question. Let's say I've always had a different view than some folks. I've never been that radical about anything except maybe the designated hitter. If you're a grown-up in St. Louis, you choose to be in St. Louis. You're probably a little more socialist than most folks, so you want the government to tell you what to do. Little kid, maybe he's got one parent that's a capitalist, one that's a socialist. Little kid doesn't get to choose. And they force little five-year-old kids to wear these masks. I saw you went to court in Columbia. It seems like an ice age for something so common sense. I mean, you must have got some left-wing judge that didn't have sense coming out of the rain, but how can it take that long to make what would be, to any rational adult, a common sense decision?
Well, first of all, you made a great argument, which I believe in, more education options for families, right, to be able to make these decisions about where to send their kids. That's one. Number two, I just fundamentally don't believe
the charter schools that
right,
don't have masks.
Yeah, whatever. Be able to decide. To be able to decide. Or a parochial school. Be able to decide where you want to send your kid. Okay. But on the point I think you're getting at more directly, which is I don't believe in the forced masking of five-year-olds. There's no science behind it. There's nothing to support it. Families are best to make these decisions. And that's why we're fighting so hard on this front. Where we're at now, I mean, the flu is much more dangerous for the five-year-old than COVID is. Those are just facts. The problem is right now, there's so much fear-mongering from people who love standing at that podium on Monday morning, telling people you got to put this on your face. You can't come out of your house. You get to go to work this day. That's a tremendous amount of command and control that we have to fight against. That's not who we are. You should be able to make that decision for your son or your daughter, or in consultation, whoever. Families should be able to make those decisions, not some bureaucrat who thinks they know better than you.
So I saw Judge Green come out with a ruling. And I wouldn't begin to try to understand it, but essentially it said a lot of these orders were not constitutional.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I see a lot of folks that were upset about January 6th. And, you know, them clowns, if you go to Washington and break stuff, you already go to jail. I mean, fine, you already get in trouble. But the same folks talking about rule of law, all of a sudden Judge Green's rule, they seem to not think the rule of law is all that important. Where is that? What did that ruling say in a nutshell? And where is that? Where are the cases? Where's the enforcement of it coming?
Essentially, that you can't be delegating that kind of authority to these county health bureaucrats across the state. So essentially, what the ruling said was that's a state. That's what the DHSS is supposed to be doing. And so, you know, I've made it clear we're not appealing that, and we're moving forward to enforce that. And so we've sent correspondence out, letting these folks know. Including school boards, what the ruling is, and that they're expected to follow the law because we'll be enforcing it.
So what does that mean for the poor? Let's say there's like a five-year-old little German kid trapped in a Karl Marx elementary.
Hypothetically.
What does that mean for him?
It means that we're going to continue to fight for those kids and for those families to make those decisions for themselves. This one-size-fits-all approach that's not based in science, that's based in power and control, has to end. Because guess what? It's never going to end. And mark my words, come 2022, I bet you there's going to be a midterm variant where it's not safe to vote in person.
I got a thought that says there's going to be a variant in April in them school board elections.
Yeah. So the point is, they're making this stuff up as they go along. And I am never going to back down, Scott, from fighting back, because to me, this is a fundamental issue about, again, who we are as a country.
You think they make it up, or do you think you and I could look at something, and you could see it as very serious, and I could see it as not so much, or vice versa. I don't think they make it up so much. The problem I think we're going to have is, you keep making up a new variant every few weeks, you're going to be something serious that could happen, and no one's going to believe. It's going to be the boy who cried wolf.
Well, the problem is it's not based on facts and science. There's no study that shows any measurable protection for kids wearing masks. In fact, the good news is, COVID isn't, it's hard for kids to contract, transmit, or get seriously ill from COVID. That's a good thing. Not all viruses are the same. But the people don't want to accept that in these positions because it gives them power to stand up and say we're doing something. Yeah. Well, guess what? That's actually not the prescription here, okay? Let people make these decisions. You're already starting to see in places like Oregon where they say these mask mandates are going away. And people need to wear a mask all the time because of the flu. At some point, we have to say we know what the risks are and we trust people to make decisions. And that's what we're fighting for.
If you wore a mask all the time, there would be some degree of health benefit. You might be a little safer from something, but is it worth it, right?
Well, but for little kids, the problem and the studies will show you, the actual data and the science will show you, that because of kids messing around with the masks, they get dirty, and there's respiratory issues that come with that. There's a loss of learning, especially if you have a learning disability like dyslexia. You can't see the mouth moving, particularly younger. As you get older, those are lessened to some degree. But we're fooling ourselves if we don't think there's a long-term impact for kids, for social interaction, understanding what's being said in the classroom. And so I feel perfectly content with the place that we have here, which is fighting on behalf of families, fighting on behalf of parents, and dislodging this power that people in some positions of authority are never going to want to get rid of. And so we're fighting for the people.
So I've seen folks talk about immigration. Since Donald Trump, I've heard Republicans talk about it a long time. Donald Trump really brought that to the forefront. I've seen people go down on the border. You actually filed a lawsuit and won on immigration. What did that actually mean for folks in Missouri?
Yeah, so President Trump had a very successful Remain in Mexico policy. What is that? It meant that Mexico was the waiting room. So if you're coming here seeking asylum, by the way, 9 out of 10 asylum claims are bogus, you would get a court date, but you weren't across the border here, released into the interior of the United States, never to be seen again. That's what Joe Biden brought back. So we went into court and said, Joe Biden, you can't do that. The Supreme Court of the United States agreed with Missouri and Texas on that in a 6-3 ruling. So the Remain in Mexico policy is back in effect. In fact, they tried to mess around with it. They tried to balk. We went back in court, and this week they're reinstating Remain in Mexico. And I think that's the difference. A lot of people talk about stuff. We're actually going and taking action, getting results. We also filed a lawsuit to finish the border wall. Look, almost $4 trillion has been appropriated by Congress. I went down to the border. I talked to those Border Patrol agents. What they tell me is that the cartels are running the show. They have to put schools on lockdown in places like El Paso when they're crossing over. But in many ways, they're just passing through, Scott. They're making their way to Kansas City and St. Louis through these cartel networks.
Let me tell you where they're making their way to. Cameron Gerber reports in the Missouri Times. They're on the way to O'Fallon. What happens if you're a Missourian and you see a group of folks and you think it's probably illegal immigrants? And some of these folks work 12, 14 hours a day. They're folks you'd want to come into the state and be Missourians, but not mistreated. What can someone do if they see that happening now?
Report it to the Department of Labor. That's one thing that people can do. And so, you know, if there are referrals to our office, we're always going to take action. That comes from any agency if it's credible. So, but I think, look, taking on the problem of illegal immigration is important. It's a safety issue. There's human trafficking and human smuggling involved, massive drug trafficking that's taking place. So to have a secure border means a lot because guess what? Every state's a border state now.
It is really interesting. Folks, this video we obtained, they cracked down in Texas so folks move further north. Every state has become a border state. That's an interesting perspective. I think that's actually real life.
Well, people ask, why is Missouri involved in these lawsuits? First of all, we've made it a point to take on human trafficking. We led a multi-state coalition that led to dozens and dozens of arrests and rescued people. Okay, so we care about human trafficking in this state. And it's everywhere now. And when you have a porous, open border, like I guess evidently the left actually wants, that's not who we are. I mentioned the government of limited powers, which is what the federal government is supposed to be. One of the things they're actually supposed to do is secure the border.
I hear a lot of Republicans talk about immigration now. Do you believe if they found credible instances of illegal immigration brought to a place, say, like O'Fallon, do you think Republicans actually mean it, or are they just talking?
I would hope so.
Let's talk about the campaign. You're running for U.S. Senate. I've watched how this campaign's unfolded. Each time somebody puts out a poll, even your opponents put out a poll, they show you moving up and up. Why is that? And it feels like there's a little momentum behind the race.
I think people want a fighter, and they're tired of people saying a bunch of things and not doing anything. They want somebody who's actually going to take action, and that's exactly what we're doing. I've said, look, we're going to take a blowtorch to the Biden agenda. That's exactly what we're doing, and we're getting results. People don't want this kind of tyrannical overreach in their lives. They don't at the federal and the local level. They see what's happening at the border. They don't like that. Energy independence, we're taking that on and winning as well against the Biden administration's agenda. So people want a fighter to go to Washington, D.C., who's going to fight for an America First agenda and win, and somebody who's not going to back down. And that's what I bring to the table, and I think that's why. And I will tell you, so the fundraising, we've set records on fundraising in the first two quarters. That's all going well. But the energy on the ground, Scott, as I get around, we're taking on issues and speaking to people where they're at, the issues that they're dealing with at the kitchen table, whether it's education or immigration or these, you know, mask mandates or vaccine mandates. People have had enough. They're tired of it. They want their country back, and I'm going to fight for them.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Good to be with you again.
We'll be right back with our Opinion Maker panel, but first, go to showmissouri.com. There's Show Missouri one county time. This week in Johnson County, Missouri, Warren's burgling, all about the place where Central Missouri State University is home to. We'll be right back after this.
All across Missouri, our new car and truck dealers are building strong local economies. When you buy a car or truck in Missouri, you're helping to support over 20,000 Missouri families who rely on the auto industry for good-paying local jobs. You're also helping fund our communities, schools, first responders, and our roads because dealers generate millions of dollars in tax revenue. Missouri's automobile dealers have been the foundation of our communities for generations and for generations to come. The Missouri Automobile Dealers Association, the heart of Missouri.
For more than a century, the St. Louis Carpenters Union has shaped our communities. Through trusted alliances, we deliver skilled professional craftspeople while our business partners provide the kind of quality jobs that keep our economy humming. It's a blueprint that has worked since 1882. Turning Missouri into a right-to-work state stalls progress, wipes out jobs, and kills momentum. Right-to-work is wrong for everyone. Let's keep Missouri moving forward. Visit carpdc.org to learn more.
Your energy needs are changing. That's why at Ameren Missouri, we're not waiting on the future. We're building it with the Smart Energy Plan. advancing thousands of projects across the state, helping reduce emissions through cleaner energy sources, boost reliability with self-healing equipment, and better withstand storms with new composite poles. Moving Missouri forward and bringing us all a little closer together. That's energy at work.
Welcome back to our last Opinion Maker panel of the year. State Representative Adam Schwadron, for the first time on the show. Welcome back. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you for having me.
The Dean of the Missouri Republican Party, David Barklage. Welcome back. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Rasheen Aldridge, Representative of St. Louis City. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back.
And Pat White, when I think of Christmas, I think of the Labor Council and the big Christmas party. When is it? This coming Thursday, correct?
That's right. The 16th at Machinist Hall.
Absolutely. A great time. Let's start off right off the top in schools. Pat White, I really think what Eric Schmidt has done is, people argue about the law. He's the general of all the lawyers. He might know. But I think maybe what he's done is save the schools from a drubbing next session.
You know, I get that. And with labor, we kind of stay in our lanes with this. So as far as, you know, what my personal opinion on the masking and unmasking, I just find it ironic. When is big government okay? You know, when do we allow, you know, these school boards to do their thing? When do we not allow it? When do we allow the federal government to come in and do the rules? So, you know, it's just ironic to me that big government's okay.
I can answer when local control went from being a tenant of the Republican Party to they hated it. It's when David Barklage won a race up in Northeast Missouri for John Cawthorn that turned the majority. The minute the Republicans had the majority, local control was a distant memory, never to be supported again. David Barklage, I think from a political standpoint, though, boy, Eric Schmidt's on a roll.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that there are a way to attack these issues, and there's a way to go too far. I think he's sort of right in the lane of going the right direction. You know, the whole mask mandate, I mentioned before the show that we had done a survey that showed in St. Louis County, 90% of the people were wearing the mask, 37% because of the mandate, 87% in St. Charles County that didn't have a mandate. And the fact is that a lot of people believed in the mask. But the mandate to try to claim, put all this emphasis on the mandate, I think's wrong. I think Eric has figured out that lane. I think he's doing the right thing.
Gene Aldridge, I love you because you know people. I have a little girl that's in Rockwood who said a little girl went to her school and she had a letter from the Attorney General and she didn't have to do masks anymore. My daughter wanted one, and so this year that a few minutes, got the letter. I think my daughter would be a Democrat if you'd leave her face alone. I think regular people I think Eric Schmidt may have touched on something that regular people support. Maybe let the teachers teach, and if you want to raise kids, go work in an orphanage.
You know, I know for, you know, our young kids, especially in a time like this, this is a time we never lived in, you know, in a pandemic like this. So to cover your face for a child, especially in elementary, they like to do all type of things. It's difficult, but I think it's the best thing to do. And I'm going to have to be the one to say I disagree. I think Eric Schmidt is going too far. I think, you know, he's using this office to try to advance an agenda, running for office. I mean, he's running for U.S. Senate. And instead of allowing it to be on a local area, that's one thing that, you know, me and the governor don't always agree. None of us all agree.
Sure.
But one thing that I think he did well was he said, let local areas decide. Let St. Louis do what they want to. Let Kansas City, let the hillbillies, if they don't want to wear a mask, you know, do what they want to. But now, you know, it takes the power away from local areas. And I think that's where it becomes problematic, especially when it's being politically driven.
But does it matter? No matter if he's running for office or not, if what he's doing is right.
And popular, and what people want. Let me ask you this political
question. Sometimes politicians do what's right, and it's popular. That's sort of the
But the
double.
Question is, would he be doing it if he wasn't running for office?
I think he would.
And I don't think he would be so extreme on it. I find, from what I've heard from Eric Schmidt in the past, and just even working with him during the Ferguson days on Senate Bill 5, you know, he's a really, moderate type of guy. But since he's advanced that he's running for U.S. Senate, you know, I guess it's fighting out who's going to be the most crazy.
I asked you about a mayor race once and said, is this too far to the left? And you go, I don't think he can be too far to the left in this race. I'm not sure that doesn't apply to his race.
I don't think so. Let me think on that.
All right. You know,
let me think on
I got to ask the representative. Last year, all the people that had been shoved in lockers in high school got together and passed something to knife their schools. I really think you guys were gearing up to really thump schools' heads. Did Eric Schmidt they're all fighting him tooth and nail, but if there's a kids in mask in January, could the Lord Jesus Christ help Missouri public education?
You know, I think Schmidt, he probably didn't save the school boards and the school districts. That was just the straw that broke the camel's back. The school boards and the pushback that parents are getting from there. The parents are upset all across the nation, not just here in Missouri. The FBI being called to handle parents at school board meetings. the people are fighting back, and they're angry, and they're coming for the schools.
I tend to think you're right. I thought maybe even against all their efforts, if he could maybe save them from that, there might be maybe a little bit of a gallows humor, but they'd get a little bit of a reprieve. But I tend to think the fighting they're doing with him, trying to help them, is just, it's bizarre to watch. And sometimes you get what you deserve.
Yeah, I mean, this past year we passed ESAs, and there's already a pushback on that. And so the parents are seeing that whatever they try to do, there will be pushback.
David Barkowitz, Revenge of the Nerds 2 next session?
Yes.
With
yes.
It?
It's going to happen.
Yeah. What do you think?
You know, I think it is. And it's, it's a sad day, I think.
Could they have helped themselves by not fighting this, what these parents are demanding so stridently?
I don't think so.
Do you think it would have mattered if they had said, you know what, okay, maybe if all of you are here, we'll just let you raise your kids and we'll educate them.
Well, let me just tell you, when I was growing up, your parents went to school. They were not afraid of the teachers, but you listened to the teachers. You were told, this is what we're teaching, whatever. You followed it. They really dictated. People were comfortable with that. But today, I think there's a different set of arrogance where they're not collaborative in terms of parents and things, and they should be. If they are willing to teach certain things, they're willing to do certain things, stand up for it. That signal, when you run from something that you put up or you are aggressive to the people who are just asking questions, that's the wrong tone. And I think that, I've never seen this before. When OBE, there was a movement years ago to do OBE in schools. And when they got pushed on it, they changed, they did some different things. And it may have ended up getting what they wanted, but they at least listened to the politics and sort of worked the community. Now, they're aggressive, they're literally separate from the community. And that's setting them up to actually hurt the people we all care about and the children, because we're getting stuck in issues that aren't about improving education.
Yeah, it is true. If you stick to the classroom, schools have done a pretty good job. It's hard to argue a lot of it, but when you come up with these reading, writing, arithmetic, you bring in these other things and you want to be the kid's doctor and you want to tell the kid how to dress, I think that's where they start to, well, they have lost folks. But well, let's talk about something that I think is going to be very popular. Infrastructure bill, President Biden touchdown. You had Senator Blunt, a big part of making that happen, a big part of Missouri's portion, Congressman Cleaver. I think that you're going to see a lot of people cutting ribbons with you and guys that you represent on the backs of Cleaver and Blunt, and they're probably not going to mention their names. They might try to take the credit, but it'll really be those folks that took those tough votes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I personally want to thank both of those gentlemen for doing that because you know, this is going to bring billions of dollars to the state.
The president deserves credit too.
Oh, absolutely. For getting across the finish line, you know, and I know we're still talking about the Build Back Better thing, and that's something down the line. But this infrastructure bill, I mean, our roads and bridges, and we have a lot of them here in Missouri, are just in terrible shape. We got a D rating, you know, and there's millions, hundreds of millions of dollars going to go into those roads and bridges, and you know, we've got $9 billion just coming to our state alone. You know, we talk about water infrastructure, and we're talking about, you know, the railways and everything else. I mean, that's a big part of our economy here in Missouri, and most of our guys and gals are going to be doing that work, and it's going to be good for us for a long time.
Sheila, this is talk about what government can do. What you talk about how you disagree with people and you agree with people. Most folks agree government should build roads. Mm-hmm. And it looks like they're going to build some roads.
Mm-hmm. No, it's a great day. I don't even think just for Democrats or Republicans. It's a great day for, you know, our country that we're able to actually put money that's actually going to build our cities for the long term, right? Like you say, roads and bridges, broadband, and you're talking about especially being able to get some of these clean pipes. You know, it's in the city of St. Louis, we have so many pipes still that have like lead in it. So to be able to get that out, to be able to help the next generation, that's the right move. That's the smart policy that when you see Blunt and you see Cleaver and you see both parties being able to come together to help the future generation, it's amazing.
David Barkowitz, you know, you can argue about this other pieces of Build Back Better or whatever, but whether there's anything left, there's something there when you build a highway.
You don't have the right to criticize Biden if you're not willing to also compliment him for the accomplishments they make. I just don't think it's the right thing to do. And it's $1,464 for every person. Broadband is something that I think, you know, people have criticized that because, oh, it's not part of the traditional infrastructure, but it's critical for the rural economy. And if Missouri is going to grow, if we can bring back factories in rural Missouri, if we can bring back jobs in places like the Boot Hill that we've seen really hit hard, we're not going to do it without those kinds of things. So I'm glad to see that. I think it was a great collaborative effort, and the president should be applauded by it. I think Governor Parson going to see him was again a sign that as much criticism of people have been trying to put on the governor, you know, he puts aside partisanship and he does the right thing for his office, for the president, for Missouri in these situations.
Representative, you're from the county where the interstate system started. Mm-hmm. I mean, this will, if there's a place in the state where you could probably get a return on investment on roads, probably St. Charles County right now, the way it's growing. There'll be a bunch of Pat's guys out laying asphalt in your county before long.
Yeah, there's the interstate started actually in my district right there on 70, and there's a project slated for my district as well. And also, more importantly, fixing that S-curve out there in Wentzville.
I think we can all agree the 6370 interchange in Columbia, it may be addressed. It would be one of the greatest public works projects ever. If you spend any time in southern Missouri, you dread it. You try to avoid it. Hopefully, the president, Roy, and Congressman Cleaver have helped out. Let's, with a minute left, though, for this year, who won the week?
I would say politics won. When you have an American hero like Bob Dole passing away, and people from most politicians from both sides of the aisle giving him the accolades that he deserves, it was good to see some civility in politics for a change.
Yeah, what an amazing life. Yeah. And really benefited Kansas City a ton.
Oh, absolutely.
Representative?
Yeah, I was going to say President Joe Biden. You know, him coming to Kansas City, bringing, again, so many people together to talk about some good policy that's going to be able to move us forward in the future. And again, it was great to, like he mentioned, it was great to see Governor Mike Parsons also be there. Even though that wasn't a Republican president, that, you know, there's still some compromise and being able to work.
How funny was it when his staff messed up Quentin Lucas's name?
Yeah, I know. I seen it. He tweeted, he was like,
Don't ever think
it looked like they had a little barbecue sauce on the thing, too.
That was awesome.
I was like, dang, how are they going to do Quinn like that?
Who won the week?
I'm going to give first Pat, because Pat made it actually enjoyable the first time to talk partisan across lines, and that is rare. So thank you, Pat, and second a prayer to Rex Rust, who's a friend of many up here and in Cape Girardeau.
Yeah. Who won the week?
Attorney General Eric Schmidt. Two reasons. The ruling and going after the school boards, and also because of Eric Greitens flip-flopping on SAPA.
Oh, that SAPA guy. I tell you what, that door, you know, he comes off a little coarse in the cap maybe, but he made his bones. I mean, to just say you be humble and you apologize now, and then the guy does it, that Aaron Doerr, that's
which side is Eric on that?
I don't know what day it is, but I'll tell you what, that Aaron Doerr's on the side of having balls.
We could extend this whole show quite some time. And right.
If Aaron Doerr and Eric Greitens were in Eric Greitens' basement, we know we'd be wearing the duct tape. But I really think if you look at this, I think Eric Schmidt won, because how many kids went to school this week or Friday and Monday with their Eric Schmidt letter that got them out of the silly mask stuff?
Doing the right thing and getting votes for it ain't so bad.
Good old Sue Bully Eric.
Sue? I don't know what that even means. Is that the boy named Sue? We'll do this after. Oh, I have one person that I want to say won the week, the year, maybe it's Chris, Mike Mahoney. In a profession where people dog you out no matter what you do, how you do it, Mike Mahoney was able to be entertaining. He was able to say, ask tough questions. He was able to be respected. To me, the profession of journalism throughout the world will miss Mike Mahoney, and I will enjoy maybe getting to bend my elbow with my Irish buddy a little bit more over in Kansas City. We'll see you next year on This Week in Missouri Politics.
This Week in Missouri Politics, sponsored by the Missouri Association of Career Fire Protection Districts, Spire, and Sterling Bank.